Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
And today's date is November 16th, 2023.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most don't realize that we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin. Look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Did you not hear the sound of the shofar? Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, is
620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. If you have an emergency, text Dan. Let him know you're going to call him on his cell at 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. You can always find the breaking news, Wichita Mission updates, and radio program archives, and all of our contact information is on our ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Wow, I'm impressed. Anyway, yes, folks, and I'm going to throw it in several times this program, but for the record, do they still have time to mail a donation for Thanksgiving?
And Thanksgiving's Thursday.
Okay. All right. So, folks, if you're going to make a donation for Thanksgiving, you're going to have to do it by online, unless you live in the Wichita area. You
if they get it in by Saturday, it's possible it could still get here.
Yeah, you could actually overnight it. I mean, that's five. What do they cost?
Or you could just PayPal it and it's instant.
Yeah. Yeah, and just make sure you say it what it's for, you know.
And you even have that other thing everybody's up to now, that Cash App thing.
Yeah,
whatever it's called. I don't do that stuff, but
it's called, it's called Cash App. It's over there. They're on a... if you go to prophecyhour.com, that information is there. Okay, well, we better get it. What about our listener base?
Okay, let's think our listener base places worldwide like Auckland, New Zealand, Mumbai, India, Frankfurt, Germany, and in the USA, we have San Bernardino, California, Gary, Indiana. That sounds like somebody's name. Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, I know. And it's easy to remember when it popped up today, it said Gary, and I went, oh, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
No, just kidding.
Okay.
Jacksonville. Yeah. And there might be somebody named that out there. We don't know, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I started to say Gary, Indiana again. Jacksonville, Florida. And last week, the largest group of listeners was in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Yeah, and that's 2 weeks in a row for them.
Yeah. And there's a podcast radio archives at the branch.podomatic.com. That's branch.podomatic.com.
Okay, I'm anxious to talk about a lot of things today. But anyway, let's get a prayer, and then we will have a song. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I really pray tonight that radio goes according to your will, Father, and get it out there to the people, Father. Give them ears in which they understand and hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh and your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight and bless us and bless all our listeners in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Song.
Israel, Israel, by the great sea, borders from the river Nile, to Euphrates. God has given all this land to his servant Abraham.
Moses seen this land of promise beyond the River Jordan. God gave to his servant Abraham. Out of it would rise a nation for all the world to see. Israel, Israel, God has chosen Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by faith did receive the spoken word of the Father, blessing all their needs. They dwelt in the land of Canaan, where Jesus would be born. Israel, Israel, God has chosen Israel.
Israel, Israel, by the great sea, borders from the River Nile to the Euphrates, God has given all this land to his servant Abraham, by promise to him and his seed, by promise to him.
Okay, again, that's a song by Brother Ben McKnight. I sure would like to know what finally happened to him. We had some communication with him, but the guy had a radio program called 70th Week Magazine on a shortwave. You know, all I could afford was, the program was 15 minutes long. That's all I could afford. And
I remember that.
Yeah. And but anyway, his music was great. You know, he wasn't real good on prophecy, but that was during the time of the Clinton era, whenever, you know, when a lot of bad things came in, and they were expecting a lot of things. But anyway, Israel, yes, absolutely, by promise. We're going to talk about maybe some things with Israel. We got a lot of things to talk about. In fact, we're probably going to just make this one and two parts today. But we'll attach them together when we put them out to podcast, so it won't be hard for you. But it's some good news. Now, the Father said, it says in the Bible, and people point to it all the time, that the leaders in the world that are established by the Father. And I do know, and I honestly believe, that judgment comes to a nation. The judgment comes from... you know, part of the judgment on a nation is having a bad leader. The Father allows a bad leader to punish a nation. You know, that's wrong. That's biblical. But let's go with this. So what if you get somebody good? Of course, that's done by the Father, right? Well, is this a gleam of hope for us? Is this a sign that America may actually turn itself around a little bit, that we may get some more time? Because I don't believe we're ever going to go to full repentance. In fact, you know, since they dropped the Roe, you know, did the Roe versus Wade thing, you know, in the Supreme Court, there's been more abortion since, not less. But that's in liberal states or whatever. But point being, it is what it is, and he's not gonna. He at some point judgment's gonna come. It's gonna come.
And what's that scripture say? Woe unto those that put one harm on one little hair on these little ones. Yeah, I think somebody's gonna be in a whole.
Yeah.
Somebody's.
Yeah.
Are gonna be in a whole lot of fire.
Okay, but this might be a sign of amen. So this might be a sign of something good. So let's start off with this today.
Okay, I make no apologies. New House Speaker Mike Johnson boldly says Bible is his worldview. Just installed House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican, is that Louisiana?
Yeah, I think
okay,
so.
Is making clear He is a Bible-believing Christian. During an interview Thursday evening with Fox News, Sean Hannity Johnson said he has been asked by members of the media for his positions on myriad issues. And in his response, he has told them to turn to Scripture to truly understand his perspective on the matters of the day. Someone asked me today in the media, they said, it's curious, people are curious, what does Mike Johnson think about any issue under the sun, he explained. I said, well, go pick up the Bible off your shelf and read it. That's my worldview. That's what I believe, and so I make no apologies for it. Yes, amen.
Yeah, and the liberals are just going crazy about it. And, you know, Rolling Stone magazine, which a long time ago I used to think was a cool magazine, but now don't waste your time with it. It's totally liberal. But so Rolling Stone magazine came out with this, and they did a favor because I'm glad for this article. Read this one.
Okay, Mike Johnson, depraved. American deserves God's wrath. And Tim Dickerson, Wednesday, November 15th. In an October prayer call hosted by Christian nationalist mega pastor Representative Mike Johnson, was troubled that America's wickedness was inviting God's wrath.
Stop a second. Look what they called him. They called him a Christian nationalist MAGA pastor. I don't know that he's a pastor. I haven't seen that in this thing. But anyway, a MAGA pastor, Mike Johnson, was troubled that America's wickedness was inviting God's wrath. Well, of course it is, but go on.
Okay, talking to Pastor Jim Garlow on a broadcast of the World Prayer Network, Johnson spoke ominously of America facing a civilization movement, he said.
Moment.
He said, the only question is God going to allow our nation to enter a time of judgment for our collective sins? Or is he going to give us one more chance to restore the foundations and return to him?
Well, amen. So, that's what Rolling Stone had to say about it, you know, about him, and they hate him. But here's the point. This is, you know, he's third in line for the presidency. That the Speaker of the House always is. If something happened to the president, vice president, the Speaker of the House is next in line. You know, they do that in case of nuclear war or something, you know, wipe out the... So, but anyway, the point being is, this guy, the Speaker of the House, that's like Nancy Pelosi. She had so much power and pull because she was the Speaker of the House. And, you know, so... Anyway, you know, in fact, what is his name that we just booted out? Say it for me. You remember? Well, the guy that they just booted out, and then Mike Johnson.
If you say his name, I tell you, yeah, but I kiss right on the tip of my tongue.
But anyway, that dude, he was so mad that he elbowed one of the guys that helped kick him out, you know.
He elbowed him
and caused him. In fact, there's a violation up against him because of it. Wow. I'll read this one. So here's more about Mike Johnson. Okay, Mike Johnson boldly points out the separate. Now, this is really important. Listen, folks. People think that they know everything, but you don't look up stuff. You don't know history. You don't know your own Constitution. House Speaker Mike Johnson boldly points out that separation of church and state is really not even in the Constitution. This came from CBN News. House Speaker Mike Johnson has not shied away from letting his Christian faith become a beacon on Capitol Hill. This week, he proclaimed on national television that everybody's vibrant expression of faith is needed because it's such an important part of who we are as a nation. And he's always talking about God and faith. I know I actually listened to this guy. Johnson made that statement on CNBC's Squawk Box when he was asked about his decision to pray on the floor of the House after being sworn in as Speaker. Because after he got sworn in on the Speaker, he said a prayer of thanks to the Father. You know, oh, wow, the old liberals are dying. Okay, anyway, our deep religious, he goes on, and this is what Johnson says, our deep religious heritage and tradition is a big part of what it means to be in America. When our founders set this system up, they wanted a vibrant expression of faith in the public square because they believed that a general moral constituency, you know, a moral conscience, it is a virtue was necessary to maintain the grand experiment in self-government we created, he expressed. Johnson continued, a government of, by, and for the people. We don't have a king in charge. We don't have a middleman. So we've got to have morality among us so that we have accountability. And so they wanted faith to be a big part of that. That's the whole point. You know, the founding father says if we don't keep our faith, then this doesn't work because people are held account that way. Anyway, the 56th Speaker of the House went on to explain that the modern argument for separation of church and state isn't what the founders intended in the U.S. Constitution. The separation of church and state is a misnomer, Johnson said. In other words, you're misunderstanding it. People misunderstand it, he continued. Of course, it comes from a phrase that was in a letter that Jefferson, that's Thomas Jefferson, wrote, but it's not in the Constitution. And what he was explaining is they did not want the government to encroach upon the church, not that they didn't want principles of faith to have an influence on public life. It's exactly the opposite. In fact, when the Capitol building was first made, they used to have church services there in the Capitol every Sunday. Johnson was referring to Thomas Jefferson's letter to Danbury Baptist Association of Connecticut, written in 1802 when he served as President of the United States. In his letter, Jefferson said Congress should make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between church and state. In other words, that the government could not control the church. However, the words separation of church and states are not technically found in the Constitution. That was just Jefferson's personal idea. As the Supreme Court has ruled in recent years, the First Amendment to the Constitution was not meant to keep citizens from expressing their religious beliefs in public squares. And so, you know, now you have the devil coming in and are using the free speech thing to say that Christianity free speech is an encroach on others' free speech. And so they're used twisting it around, the devil is, to bring us down. Washington said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion, and morality are indisputable supports. And John Adams came up next and he said, our Constitution is made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate of a government for any other kind, Johnson further explained. He closed saying, they knew that this would be important to maintain our system, and that's why I think we need more of it. Not establishment of any national religion, but we need everybody's vibrant expression of faith because it's such an important part of who we are. Now, we're not going to go on.
As a nation.
As a nation, yeah, absolutely. Read that.
As CBN Digital also reported, Johnson was a part of a handful of conservative lawmakers who met on the House floor back in January to pray for leadership in the House of Representatives.
And that was when there was McCarthy. That's McCarthy or whatever his name was.
Yeah, McCarthy,
kicking out.
That's who it was.
So he was one of the guys that was praying for it. It had to be the fodder for this guy to get in because McCarthy was shutting down, and we found out afterwards that McCarthy was shutting down everybody they brought up at for nominees. And the way that it flipped around and this guy, and he had a unanimous vote, all except for McCarthy.
Oh, of course. And I bet he went home really mad.
Oh, he's still mad, and that's the whole point. McCarthy's still mad and angry, and he's trying to bring down and everything, and he is just so mad that he got kicked out of being Speaker of the House. But you see, he was one of those rhinos. He was going along with the Democrats. So we actually have it looks like, we can be deceived, but it looks like that we have a man of God in office as the Speaker of the House. Well, that being the case, that is so dramatically important because this is the guy that's the Speaker of the House decides what laws get brought up. Most people don't know because they don't know their Constitution. They don't know what the way things work. But you know that any real law, you know where it has to start at? In the House of Representatives. The Senate doesn't get it. While they have to have Senate confirmation for it and they have to agree on it, it has to start in the House of Representatives. And so whoever's the Speaker of the House can either bring up a law to get it going or not. You know, they can shut it down. And so that's dramatic. That's really dramatic. And, you know, talking about people and things not going on behind the scenes. Wow. I think I'm going to share with you today some of the things. You know, when I always say that I'm a researcher. What does that mean, to be a researcher? That doesn't mean that I go and look for one article and I say, okay, cool, that's the one that I agree with or whatever. But have you ever, folks ever used that thing? It's called a translate button on your internet, you know? You need to go to what other people, especially the enemy, foreign enemies, are saying about America and the situations going on. And you hit the translate button because, you know, it's like in Arabic or Russian or whatever. And well, I'm telling the people, I know you know it. My wife's not one of those people I'm referring to. But anyway.
Well, because I do it with Hebrew.
You do it with Hebrew. Okay, well, that's a good place to do it.
Yeah.
That's the way it really is. And some of the Arabic things, is just, it's kind of startling. I got some really good information I'm going to share with them after break. I don't know where all this direction this program's going to go today. But anyway, so there's some pretty startling information out there. And I'm going to go out on a limb today. And I'm going to tell you what I believe by looking at the other newspapers and what's going on and what's going to happen with this Hamas war and how it's going to end up being, what's going to come after, because of what? Not because I'm saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm saying, thus saith Dan's maybe idea. You know, I mean, it's a guess, but it's an informed guess. You know what I mean? So. What? Read the enemy's newspaper, like the Washington Post. Yeah, yeah, that one's in English, I think.
How about the New York Times?
Yeah, that's. Whoa, boy, you. Ooh, boy, she's smarter than I gave her credit, right? You know, but yeah, you're both right. Actually, you could practically bring up almost any newspaper in this country, and they are liberal.
And if you don't want to read, just go watch CNN or Fox.
Oh, God, gosh. You know what? What's funny is yes, you can get – I advise people to look at Fox in the sense of this. It will give you good leads to look up stories and things. And once in a while, they actually do tell the truth. But you have to know that while they're parading as being conservative, they're actually a liberal rat.
I know. You sure have to have discernment because some of them – people really do lie good.
Some of them really do lie good.
They're almost convincing.
Almost convincing. Yeah, well, to most people, there's the point. To most people, they are
convincing. They are convincing. That's what I'm saying. You better have discernment or you're going to be deceived.
And you get discernment from having, like Mike Johnson, a biblical worldview.
Right.
And that's something that this country lacks. Okay, let's go to break. Tell them where to find us, and we'll come back and talk some more.
You can find all of our contact information, radio program archives, mission updates is all over at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back. In this time of the social and spiritual breakdown of America and the world, in these prophetic end times, God is calling multitudes of Christians to the Ozarks and other safe havens around the world to survive so they can spread the gospel. The Ark Haven Intentional Neighbors Vision is to prepare Christians physically, mentally, and spiritually for these end times. Thousands are coming to the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas and Missouri, where even the CIA says it's one of the safest places on Earth. The Intentional Neighbors concept allows Christian neighbors to own adjacent land to each other so they can aid and help each other. The community is exploding with nurses, a doctor, and other professionals, as well as many others. If you cannot afford to buy a house, you can rent a house. Call 479-502-1789. That's 479-502-1789. Or visit arkhaven.org. That's arkhaven.org. Tell them Pastor Dan sent you.
Whether you are pre-trib, mid-trib, or pre-rath, or post-trib, whatever your position is, this book, will help you to find the truth. If you're really looking for the truth about the rapture, I honestly believe you will find it in this book. It'll settle in your spirit, because the truth is the Holy Spirit knows the truth about the rapture. And one of the reasons that the people other than post-trib can't seem to find peace about this is because the Holy Spirit is trying to tell them that they don't have the truth. That is, until they find post-trib. But either way, this is going to help you to find the peace about the rapture. I really recommend you get it. We offer them in shrink wrap sets of 10. 1 for 20, 10 for 30, and 20 for 50 at prophecyclub.com. 1 for 20, but don't do that. 10 for 30, 20 for 50, give you extras to give to your friends. Because once you read this one, you're going to be handing this to your pastors, to all of your Christian friends, and just ask them to read it. If they get through the first chapter, they're going to read the whole book, and they're going to love it. And it's going to help them to really find the truth about the rapture. How Pre-Trib Won at prophecyclub.com.
Yeah, amen and amen. We are back. This is Pastor Dan and
Linda Catlin.
And you're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, I'm in a pretty good mood today, and that mood's probably coming from what we're going to do next week. Frank asked me, he said, are you ready for Thanksgiving? And I said, yes and no. I mean, yes, we're ready in the sense of, you got food? Come on.
Yeah, we're ready.
Yeah.
We got 20 turkey. I always say turkey, but yeah, me and Daniela's got 20 turkeys cooked.
Yeah.
And I just count them all at 10 pounds. So over, I know they was all at least 12, 13 pounds, and there was some 20, 23 pounders, but counting them all at 10, that's still 200 pounds of turkey, so at least 220 pounds, so... And they say count a pound per person, so I'm imagining that I have enough for 200 people at plus. But also was blessed with the Mennonites asked what we needed to help, and so I just sent them the whole list of what I'm making, and they sent a message back to Pastor Dan last week. The list is covered. Their teen group took over, and we pick everything up Wednesday on our way in. So they made enough to serve 175 people. So we should be set this year, but I'm fixing to get turkey. I can't believe the price of turkeys. The cheapest turkey that I found at Walmart was $179 a pound. So everything's
really? Done.
Yeah, because it was $79.89, yeah. But now $179 a pound. Now, I imagine they might have a sale afterwards. That probably won't come until after Christmas, because they do turkeys for Christmas, too. I'm not sure. But I know we will get donations of turkeys, and that freezer is going to have 20 turkeys in it for next year. So
yeah,
we can do this next year and not have to sweat it out, because I'm telling you, it relieved a lot of stress off me.
Yeah, and just like that, this year, you just went to the freezer and started cooking.
Right.
You know, and
freaking out about shutting down, because last year everybody was going to help, and I had workstations and everything set up for everybody to help, but nobody showed up.
Oh, my God.
And I did everything up until 10:30. My body shut down. I said, let me lay down for 30 minutes. And Pastor Dan said, oh, well, I'll take over. I had the potatoes and sweet potatoes to still do, which is a big job just in itself. And so he worked on them until, I don't know, early morning. Cause, his older, too, and his hands, you know, you got to take time to do things. But then I went to get up the next day, and I wasn't getting up. I couldn't move. So him and Larry, who passed away this year because of the
shot,
the vaccine, brought his cancer back that he beat two or three times during his life. But somehow his doctor talked him into getting the vaccine. He hid it from everybody, and he was totally against it. But within 6 weeks after he got the shot, we know because his wife found the card in his shoes when she was cleaning his room, was dated 6 weeks to the day he died.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and going back to that, yeah, I remember I think I might have also been working on desserts or something when you just shut down, you know, and it really freaked me out. And it, But here's what I'm saying. Now I wanted to, this is my new part of the story that I want to tell you folks about, which is a confirmation of my faith, really, really strong. So let's back up. What was about a week or two ago?
It was 2 weeks ago. I was freaking out, and I was already shutting down just from stress, freaking out because of all the work facing me. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I almost didn't make it through that Friday because of all the stress of coming on to me, and the Lord heard me.
Yeah, okay. So that's what I'm talking about. She was in the kitchen, and I heard her, and she's totally freaking out. I just really, really couldn't, you know, man, you know, and I tried to comfort her, but when she's in one of those, you know, and she was between her and the Lord, but she was really just, you know, total. I didn't really, like you said, I didn't think he was going to make it to that, you know, Friday. And so, and I did suggest, I said, well, you know, I had a light bulb go off, so to speak. And I said, well, you know, I'm sure the Mennonites might help a little bit, you know. And you said, yeah, I thought about texting them. And I said, well, you know, and I got on her for a couple of days. I said, well, you know, I need a list to give to them. So I asked a Mennonite woman from her family, you know, I said, hey, I said, do you think anybody would be interested in maybe helping with some of the things? Of the Thanksgiving stuff, some, okay. Well, and she says, yeah, and she made some funny faces because I also said, because her husband told her she wasn't supposed to be cooking large amounts of stuff because he doesn't think that her health is the world's greatest right now.
Right.
And so I said, but I don't want you to jump in there to do it all. And so she made some funny emojo faces back to me and said, well, send me the list. Well, it took her, and then finally, my wife gives me a list, and I expected her to put, you know, but so she just makes a list up of everything that she's going to do. 3 huge things of this and 50 pounds of potatoes and all this stuff. So I sent it to her. Well, you know.
She took it to her church. Huh? She took it to the church.
Well,
I'm going to
tell the story, yeah. And you can get in anytime you want.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, you know, she started asking her, you know, poking and asking around. So it ended up the youth group started, yeah. And it was other people.
She said everybody was receptive. She said she was amazed at how well everybody was so receptive to it. Everybody jumped right in.
Yeah, and that really astonished. And see, there's where the Lord's working on this. So she was even amazed. She didn't expect to get, you know, a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
she,
I didn't expect them to come back with, oh, the whole list is covered.
Yeah.
When do you want to pick it up?
They made Thanksgiving dinner anyway. So then yesterday, was that yesterday I got the other stuff?
Yesterday.
Okay,
yeah.
So as a confirmation of all this, there's another nice Mennonite woman that's in the same group,
ladies. It's a quilting club that it started out with. Yeah, those are really nice quilts.
Yeah, speaking of which, we got a whole bunch of handmade quilts to give out to the homeless and poor, and she said she's not donating hers anymore anyplace else but to us. But anyway, so I was talking to her, and she brought it up. She says, yeah, she said it was pretty amazing, she said, because she's talking to the other lady. I'm not going to give your names. And they both said they don't mind me saying Mennonite, but don't mention names. But anyway, and she was amazed because the other lady was amazed that everybody was so receptive
to it.
And I
said,
stop right there. I said, and I explained to her, I said, you know, my wife, that came from the conversation between my wife and the Lord about Thanksgiving, saying, I got it. That was the Lord telling my wife, I got your back. I got it. You can't tell me he hasn't listened to you because nobody expected it. Nobody. They cooked the whole dinner for, they said, we got enough dinner and even desserts for 175 people.
Yeah.
All we had to have basically was the turkey.
And what's
make
funny
gravy.
Is because I started out with, I was only going to do enough to maybe do 150. Well, then he started talking about how many new faces we've seen and all this. So at that same time, that same day, I had just got done telling my daughter-in-law, because she's the one helping me do all the cooking. I just got done telling her, okay, we'll do the 19 turkeys, which we thought we did, but we counted them up and we did 20 because I did 6, I did 12 and she did 8, so that's 20. So we did 20 turkeys. But anyway, I just got done telling her we're gonna go ahead and do enough dessert plates and everything to do 175, and then not even 5 minutes later, here come Pastor Dan told me, Oh, well, the Mennonites just sent a text and said they have enough, the list is covered, they have enough for 175. I'm like, I just told Danielle I changed it to 175. Wow, that is the Lord.
Yeah, amen, amen. And so, you know, he has our back. So, you know, but so it sounds like we're ready for Thanksgiving, but come on, folks. That's not like a normal dinner because, you know, you got more things to put in place. I know because I experienced, you know, I can serve a dinner. I've did it, you know. You know, I've served, you know, every day for about, what was that, 6-7 months
Was a year. That was 13
was it a
months.
Whole year?
13 months. Yeah.
Yeah, that I did at Fridays and my wife did Tuesdays. She had to stay back to bring kids. That was the reason, right?
And then the following, it was 13 months, and then the following year after that, you had a whole year off because you hurt your knee, and you didn't go Tuesday or Friday for a whole year. Me and Manny covered it.
I wouldn't exactly call that a year off. That was a year of agony. But anyway, yeah. Praise the Father. But so my point is I know how to serve a normal meal. Yeah, 175 is a lot of people, but when you add in all the different things for the Thanksgiving thing, it takes so much longer. And so when we did 151 last year, that was the number, we did 151. We started at about 3:30, and we didn't get done till 7 o'clock.
Right.
But I know you ladies are more experienced in it and everything, but so we're talking about more people and everything, and I'll have to be outside during that period of time because when you got more people and everything, you know, make sure there's nobody unruly or blah, 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 you know. It's a big thing, so, you know.
Well, and I told them 3 this year. I told them we're starting at 3.
It's 3?
Yeah.
And we're going to start at 3. Okay, well, we'll make sure we emphasize on that. But there's a point. And, you know, and it gets darker quicker or whatever. I hear the weather is supposed to turn bad after Thanksgiving, but I don't know what it will be on Thanksgiving, but I'm not as much worried about. So I'm ready for it, but not. You understand what I mean? You know, it's like, really? You know, but amen. So why do we do Thanksgiving for the people? I mean, most people, you know, stay home. I mean, why?
Why do we do Thanksgiving
what
for
do
the
think?
People? Because they don't have most of, at the time we started doing Thanksgiving for the people, we was close to a bunch. There was like 6 or 7 guys that was in it that had drinking problems, and
right.
they was the reason, mostly the reason why none of them had family, none of them had anywhere to go, and we was connected to not only that group, most of the homeless was like family. They called us mom and dad,
and they still do.
And yeah, but I don't get to see them that much anymore, so my connection to them's kind of slipped away because I'm stuck in the kitchen. But we used to be, they used to be just like my kids. And so we decided we're just going to do Thanksgiving with the people. When we got in this new building, we did Thanksgiving. We did some at the other building, didn't we?
We did them at the,
yeah,
we started
we
at the other building. In fact, I've got some pictures and film and everything from us doing it in it. You and Grandma, I got pictures of your mom serving.
Oh, yeah, that's
food.
Right. So
I've
as
got,
soon as we started feeding, we started doing
Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
we started
year,
doing Thanksgiving, I think, was either the first or I think was
it was
actually
year
the second year. Or, you know. Anyway, point is, we started
Thanksgiving.
Because this
is 24 Thanksgiving with them, so it had to be 2000. That's when we started.
Yeah, we started in June of 2000, and so that Thanksgiving
was
the
first
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And we really
and that's because we do our family Thanksgiving during Sukkot.
Well, we didn't used to though at that time.
No, we've only started doing that about 7 years now.
Right, but going back to that, so you know, we gave up our family Thanksgiving to have Thanksgiving with her, and I know. Some people in your family used to get upset with your mom because your mom would come on Thanksgiving,
yeah.
And everybody was used to going to Linda's. My wife's Linda, by the way, not just mom. Linda's.
Everybody used to go to
mom's for Thanksgiving,
but then Linda stole mom to go feed the homeless, and they was all mad. Boy.
Oh yeah, yeah, but she knew it was serving the Lord. Yeah.
Well, she always had hers the following weekend or the weekend before, but she always had it on the Sunday before or after Thanksgiving, but they didn't like that at all.
No, not at all. So there you go. She, not only did we do it, she broke family tradition of many, many years.
Oh, and towards the end, we even had her convinced about the Christmas stuff. She wouldn't even put up a Christmas tree, and they really, really, really got mad about that.
Yeah, oops, you know, oops, 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 we stole their mother, you know. Well, it was mine,
no,
too.
No, the Lord, the Lord pulled her in.
Yeah,
we didn't,
he did.
We just led her to the path.
Yeah, and he did, absolutely. And so here's something, folks. If here's a side thing. I know we really do need, we still are going to need a trip to the store. We still need, while we have dinner ready, we don't know. We still need money for a trip.
I still
to
have
the
to
store.
Buy cup. I still have to buy cups and plates and napkins and all that stuff that goes with it. So and I still got to buy a few pies because I want to make sure that I have enough dessert.
Okay.
I want to give everybody two, and I got to have 400 pieces of dessert of whatever.
Yeah, amen. Well, here's something else I want to throw in, and so I'm in the process of setting up some security cameras outside. It's not, in fact, I'm going to try and set them up tomorrow, and it's not just for security, so to speak, but it's also because, as we heard my wife talk about just now, she doesn't get to see what's going on outside. And so by putting these cameras up, I want to put a TV, a monitor in the kitchen for her to be able to see that. Miraculously, I'm able to do that partially because somebody just is donating a brand new computer, or getting me one, and you should use it for whatever you need. But I'm considering using it for that. But I need a monitor. So if you want to help my wife out, you know, if you make it, you want to make a donation, I think I can get a good size monitor for a couple of $100. Just put mom's monitor, you know, on the donation, because I really do need one. And I'd like for her to be able to see what's going on outside. And it would be great. It would be a really big blessing. I don't have the money to go out and buy a monitor. I don't have an extra. In fact, you know what I have? As far as money wise right now, folks, I have gas money for tomorrow. End of story. I have gas money for tomorrow. That's what I have. If I'm lucky, you know, if something else don't come up. But anyway, we're going to have a Thanksgiving. So we might as well go ahead and tell them how they can donate. And then we'll go on to some other stuff, because we are going to do a second program tonight.
Okay, you can donate.
Donut
and a donkey, or donut and a coffee, however that goes. Okay, you can donate online by Cash App. Oh, there's that Cash App. Or over the phone by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information over at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. If you don't want to help with the poor, then consider a donation for radio airtime, because it's not free, and donations is what pays for the airtime to keep us on the air.
Yeah, amen and amen. And so that's a really big deal. But if you're mailing a check for Thanksgiving, man, you need to put it in overnight mail or something.
Yeah, well, it needs to get in the mail at least by Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I've got a lot of stuff to talk about in very little time. I think I'm going to go into that other thing. Excuse me. This is something that was on my wife's heart. I put this on here because she's been talking about.
Yeah, and I must have misquoted the right number, or the number, because I probably exaggerated a little bit, but I thought he said 500,000, but it might not
well,
be.
Well, that's
that
how
many.
What I was trying to say to you was, it's not that.
Or I said 500 million. That's what I said.
Right, right. And there's not even five. They don't have a number of how many are wanting to go back. They have a number of how many are there, but they're all being disgruntled. And I couldn't really find any specific number on how many want to go back, except for just to read this article, we'll talk about it.
Okay. Illegal aliens disgruntled. Disgruntled with
disgruntled. You already said it a couple of times.
With Sanctuary City, so that they are heading back home. Nothing here for us.
That's in New York City.
Yeah.
No, that's Chicago. I apologize. Go ahead.
Okay. Some illegal aliens who made the trek to Chicago from Venezuela and other places are so disillusioned with their experiences that they are headed back to their home country.
Now, it's really bad in Venezuela. They have a dictator there and everything, and they barely have any food there, and Venezuela is really not a very good place. Go ahead.
Okay, Venezuelan Michael Catajon, 39, told the Chicago Tribune that he feels lied to about how he and his wife and daughter would find a better life in the United States. The American dream doesn't exist anymore, Catajon laminated. There's nothing here for us. We just want to go home. The Venezuelan couple expected to come to this country and be handed all sorts of wonderful benefits that they especially wanted for their daughter, enrolled in a free United States school. Instead, when they got to Chicago, they discovered that the city had been pushed to the edge, far past its ability to service the multitude of illegals arriving there. The Catajans were regulated to the floor of a police station for a while, then shunted to another temporary shelter. And they also tried to go off to on their own, but neither of the Catajans' adults could find work that paid enough long-term to afford rent payments. And without a legal work permit, they were unable to find steady full-time jobs. Then they ended up back on the floor of another police station. While they were given many free benefits, there just wasn't enough to afford them what they expected when they illegally crossed our border.
Let's stop there for a second before you finish the thing. Wasn't enough to afford them what they expected when they illegally crossed our border. They're expecting
$5,000 and a cell phone, and new clothes, and an apartment.
And believe it or not, they do get some of those things, but it doesn't realistically add up. And when you start talking about rent and all those other things and what things that they got to do and be able to get a job to sustain, it doesn't add up to the hogwash that they're being fed to get them here.
Right.
You know, so go on.
So the Castellan family is now preparing to head back to Texas and then on to Venezuela, where they'll be right back where they started. The Tribune discovered many families and individuals leaving Chicago behind in disappointment. Some were especially looking to leave the city before winter weather sets in. Okay. Oh, and that's what they were talking about, all the people that are living in tents. And they don't have anywhere to put them. And they're even taking old folks out of the old folks' home and giving them their rooms, really making the old folks homeless so they can house illegal aliens. What's wrong with this picture, America?
Yeah, and they're doing that now. They're doing that, which now let me throw some stuff in here. This is just one article from one newspaper. There's other articles out there that are saying these same things. Well, none of them give, you know, like an exact number. But there's a lot of them that are disgruntled.
Yeah, because they're not used to cooler temperatures, and it's already too cold for them to sleep in their tent, so they want to go home where it's warmer.
Well, yeah, Venezuela is a warmer country, of course. South America.
Yeah.
So there's a case in point. So you have that, and let alone going to play liberal cities like Chicago, you know, where everybody, I mean, you know, it's like a war zone. More people are being shot there daily than, you know. So you got gang warfare going on over there, and then you go to New York. New York saying the same thing. New York, the people in the liberals in New York, the people in New York finally said they're supposed to be, both these places are supposed to be sanctuary cities.
So I see no better time for it to hit the nail on the head, for the truth to come out, and for them to realize that they were lied to, they need to go home, than when the election time.
Yeah, that's the just before election. And for the record, you know, if you can. We know it's Obama versus it's Obama, Biden. Obama
I thought he came in real. Somebody said they admitted it.
Well, we did last. I mean, we talked about it last week.
Yeah, but I mean, didn't NBC, it come out in well, the media where they actually admitted to it?
Obama, what they're admitting to is Obama is the main. They're calling an advisor to Biden, but they're coming straight out and saying that the NBC News. And Newsmax and a lot of them are all saying what is the truth. The truth of the matter is that any president, how does he run? You know, how can he do all those things? Well, he has advisors on everything specific. And we said this last week. You might have an advisor on how many apples to give out or what store does or what the gas prices do. All those are advisors. And he listens to the advisors, and they usually are the ones that write up the things and does it. Over three quarters of his advisors are all the same advisors that were under the Obama administration. Most every president, after they are elected, move out of Washington, D.C. Obama just moved down the block.
Yeah.
And he's seen all the time. So really, everybody in the know knows that Obama is running the country. And liberal news medias are putting it forward that he is actually the guy. So it's basically common knowledge now. And Obama even brags about some of the advice that he's been giving him. So he's even saying it. And he even said before the election, he said he wouldn't mind doing a third term in the basement.
I seen that clip. It was a interview with somebody on, Yeah, he said he wouldn't mind doing it from the basement, have a front runner.
Well, right, and there is other things that point it, because, you know, here's the kicker. You know, human nature, fallen human nature, nothing works unless somebody else knows about it. You know, so if you're doing something great and you don't tell anybody about it, then it's like nothing to you.
Right.
That's what a concept that we've lost in America. It used to be that you did things right and did things good because they were the right thing to do.
Right.
You know, I don't need somebody else's affirmation, the fact that, oh, look what I did, you know. I do, yeah. I tell you about the homeless and how many we fed and all that. Is it because I'm bragging about it? It's what the father's done, but that's how we have to get money for support for the things. But anyway, point being is, we know who the guy it really is. It's Obama. So my point that I was going to say is the Biden is really, really behind in the polls, and they even said that the black vote, which is a big critical thing, is mostly in favor of Trump instead of, and so is the Latino vote. So we could have, no matter, even with vote stealing, there's going to be a dramatic amount of people that vote for President Trump. And I say President Trump because he is still the president of the United States. He's the legal president. These other people are people that stole it, you know. And
he's treasonous.
Okay, well, tell them where they can find us at and all that jazz.
And you can donate online over the phone or by Cash App, or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Okay, folks, and remember, if you don't want to help with the poor, I know you're listening to radio. I see your numbers. Yes, you can donate to radio, and I pray you do, but we really need you to start putting us out there, you know, share us on social media and other places. And we're fixing to. We've got it set up. We've got an app that, while we're staying on American Voice Radio, we're going to start broadcasting to a whole bunch of different places at once because of a modern technology. And we're in the process of doing that. We're slow learners, but we'll get there.
Go over to Rumble and check us out and follow us over on Rumble.
Yeah, and I did get enough people over on Rumble to be able to broadcast for free. That was one of the things we was waiting on. But I don't look for us to do that broadcast, to hit the button on it, until after Thanksgiving, you know. Big deal is I got to get time from the other son to help me and Manny out figure a couple things.
The one that works all the time?
Yeah, okay, let's go through this. Okay, we must remember there is only one true God. Who is he? He is your father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember what?
Always be a blessing to others and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're praying for Messiah's return.
Yeah, amen. I'll tell you in the next program, I'm all about some things about Jerusalem. Lord our God, Father, King in the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and you'll be gracious to these people, Father, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. An hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye.
And Linda Catlin saying goodbye and shalom.
Oh, my gosh. Be blessed.
Be back in an hour.
You have to be quiet for Frank to get us out.
Fire on the mountain, Moses went to see. The bush was burning with the flame. By the power of God's glory, we're standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down and take his sandals off as he was standing on holy ground. Daniel in the lion's den, he trusted in God's word. Those hungry lions' mouths were shut, and not a hair on Daniel was hurt, and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, and he was standing on holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground. They were standing on holy ground. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, into the furnace they were tossed.
When the king looked in, there were four, not three, must have had their sandals off when they were standing on holy ground. Yeah, they had to humble down. They were standing on holy ground. David told Goliath, "You come with sword and shield, but I am the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel." He was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, 'cause he was standing on holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground. They were standing on holy ground. Are you standing on holy ground?
Okay, folks, I think what I am going to do is I'm going to have my son cut out the first part of that we just went through. And folks, you'll be wondering from the other one, we went out, we're going to look at like just a break. And so we're just going to, when we put them together, it's just going to be from that song all the way down. So you don't need all the rest of that. So what do you think about that? Anyway, we've been having fun. So I thought I'd start with a fun article. There you go.
Oh, fun, huh? Generation Z employee is shocked by the depressing 9-to-5 work schedule. A 23-year-old college graduate pens an essay on tiring expectations of a full-time job. Okay, a Generation Z employee laminated in an essay published by Business Insider that her day job at the YMCA is, while regarding still difficult since it takes up too much of her time. Piper Hansen graduated from college in spring of 2023, and while she has only been working full-time for a few months, she said it's depressing to have to work 9-to-5 schedule. Wow. Depressing, really? And they don't even, and that used to be, way back then, that was the norm. You got 9-to-5 and you got 8 hours. Now, you have to go the extra 30 minutes for lunch or hour for lunch. They don't pay you for lunch anymore. So it's actually 8:30 to 5:30 or 8:30. Yeah, it's not that. So she's got a lot to learn, doesn't she?
Okay.
How can I make sure I'm eating well and seeing my friends and taking time for my hobbies, she asked. How am I supposed to fit my whole life into a 9-to-5 work schedule? Oh, Hansen explained that she wakes up around 7 a.m. for her 10-to-7 job, but by the time she has to gets home, she barely has time to walk her dog and make dinner before it gets dark. Generation Z.
No, don't worry about that.
Okay, then I have to make sure that the coffee pot is ready for the next morning and I have something to take for lunch the next day, she wrote. I'm home for just a few hours before I get ready for bed by 11 p.m.
And she did that tear-filled rant. So there you see a problem. There's a welcome to the real world, you know. And here's a kicker. She graduated from college, and so she should have been prepared for that because that's what college and all that's supposed to do is prepare you for the real world. But the colleges aren't doing it. All the colleges are doing is a political theater to change your mind.
Well, if she's whining about a 9-to-5 job, she better not get married and have any kids. She better not get married and have any kids because that is a 24/7 job. It is no 9-to-5, wham, wham. No time for yourself now? Wait till you have a baby, lady.
But you know why I'm laughing at it, though? That shows you the situation that we're in. You know, that's actually, instead of sitting here laughing, you know.
You should be crying.
Yeah, that was the exact word I was going to say.
Wow, that's really terrible. That is really, really terrible.
Yeah, and so this is...
That's lazy with the capital L-A-Z-N-Y.
But this is the generation you know, the other generations take over for the older generations. And so what is, you know, it isn't a wonder that these people can be herded into being, you know, into doing anything that they want them to do. And Frank says, my point is, women should be go ahead, read.
Well, because he said it sounds like it's time for her to get married and have some babies instead. Well, that's why I said, yeah, well, she's working hard now. Wait till she has a baby.
But
and then he said his point was that women shouldn't be having jobs anyway outside the family.
Well, and they really shouldn't be. I mean, yeah, I seen it, you know, like in World War II. It was the women that helped save the world, you know, because the men most of the men went off to war. And the women jumped up and went to work in the factories and made weapons and everything during the cause of war. I understand that. But women's place is really in the home. That's what the Bible says, you know. Because you do have a big job, you know. It's more than just than changing diapers and stuff. Aren't you responsible for teaching your children like our daughter is, our daughter-in-law?
You're supposed to be.
You're supposed to be. So you see there, if you go biblically, you know, the Bible says that the women do teach the children, and they put those morals in them. In fact, Paul referenced Timothy about the Torah. He said he was telling him to study the scriptures that he had had since youth. Well, Timothy's dad was a Roman soldier, but his mother was a Jew. So what scriptures did he have? She taught him the Bible while he was a child, you know, the Torah. And so there's a point. The woman's job is because a man, where's a man supposed to be? He's supposed to be off to work. He's not supposed to be there. So that leaves the woman to put the values and those things into the children. Something now they ship them off to a school to do, and they don't care what the government school tells them. What's he talking about? I didn't say
it. Says working a 9-to-5 or raising the next generation to stay in the future.
Anyway, so you have, and then you have them teaching, you know, men, boys, into being non-masculine, you know, and it's just like you couldn't even, in practically, like this, you know.
No, we got men trying to have babies.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
wow.
And like Marvel Comics is finding out, they just came out with another great big Marvel superhero movie with three women, you know. Captain Marvel's a woman and the other two women with her, and it flopped. Why? They're trying to make women as the rule of what the men is, you know, super strong and being the heroes. Yeah, women are heroes. Then the most heroic heroes are the ones that stay at home and take care of their children.
And they're feminizing the men. It's just like true is lie and lie is true, good is evil, evil is bad, and women are men and men are women. Really?
Yeah,
it's
a whole load of garbage. It's breaking down thresholds that the Father said, you know. Men do their jobs. It's all because of the devil. It's all being turned around. And this, while we laugh about this girl being upset or whatever, hey, folks, that's the people that are out there going to take over for us, you know.
Everybody's always been upset that they didn't have enough time for themselves. But if you want to live and live well, you have to work for what you get. You can't expect to be handed to you like this. Last two generations are. We've lost two generations because of all the stuff that they've been...
And it's the generation above them, that third generation, that allowed it to happen, because it was up to them to teach the children. You know, listen, I'm 68 years old, folks, and I can remember when I was young, everybody was, when they graduated from school, most of the guys did a couple of things. They graduated about 17. When they turned 18, a lot of them joined the military, or they went to work at a place like Boeing or Cessna or some place like that, and they worked 20 years straight after that, right out of school. They didn't take time out to figure out who they was. They went to work, they worked 20 years, and then they retired. And when they retired in 20 years, they took that retirement money that they had, and a bunch of them started businesses. And some of the biggest businesses in the world were started by people that had already retired and went. And so they were able to retire before 40 years of age, you know. But that was the thing. You got married, you had a family, and those were the right things to do, you know. And then, but it goes back to what you said. They worked for 20 years, and they got someplace. What are you laughing at?
He said, and she hasn't even got started paying back all those student loans yet. Man, will the whining be loud then? If she had loans, she probably went on grants.
I doubt it. Not 20
or years had her loans forgiven.
The grants only work for a certain period of time, and these are the generation. These are the people that are screaming about wanting Biden to forgive.
Oh, wait a minute. They didn't get their loans forgiven, did you? That got reversed, didn't it?
And then Biden has also had found another way to start doing it, and it's also going up again court again.
It's wishy-washy.
So, I would venture to say, I doubt very seriously, unless you're rich, that you could do that many years in college. That was at least 4 years of college or five on just grants, because you have to have...
Yeah, usually that's only the first three or four years, and you got to go bachelor's and master's, you got to pay for loans.
Well, and it also depends on where... We're not just talking about the college tuition, but, you know, most of these lazy people, a grant is what pays for a loan. It doesn't pay for living expenses or anything else, and so they end up getting loans. But it doesn't matter. They tried to con us into getting loans and sending my son off to that, and we didn't do it. But anyway, praise Father. So that's what's going on with that. Wow. Okay. Let's get in here. I don't know. I really wanted to get into the heaviness of what I want to talk about, but let's go with this one.
Pay with the blood of Christians. TikTok users share agreement with Bin Laden's letter. Okay, the openly animistic letter blames the September 11th attack on the eastern U.S. on the existence of Israel.
So we're talking about Osama bin Laden. So when Osama bin Laden, supposedly whatever, was behind the 9/11 attacks, he sent a letter explaining why. And so this letter has now just recently broke out to a British newspaper, which it was out back then, but it's just re-broke out. They posted it because of the Palestinian conflict, where young people are reading this letter and they're being in agreement with it. Read what it says.
Okay, a letter written 21 years ago by Osama bin Laden, the founder of Al-Qaeda, has gone viral on TikTok with many users expressing their agreement with the terrorists. The openly anti-Semitic letter, written over a year after the September 11 attacks that cost the lives of nearly 3,000 people, was published in The Guardian in 2002, but was removed in November 15th of 2023, after the social media trend became known to the site. The hashtag Letter to America has been reviewed 4.5 million times on the application. One user who made the video about the letter discussed the U.S. military actions in the Middle East. She captioned her post, "Excited for the racists in my comments to arrive, free Palestine, la la la, blah blah blah."
Okay, basically what the letter says, I can tell you, it was saying that the reason for the attack on America was because of how we treated Muslims in other parts of the world, but also that our oppression of the Palestinians in Israel, and that was what, and America had added to the Palestine problem. And so that's why Osama bin Laden, because of the Palestinians, did pull 9/11, you know, with the Twin Towers and everything, and killed all the people. So you have this letter being published out on TikTok, and a lot of young people are agreeing with it. So why are these young people agreeing with it? There's a huge movement of people. We're seeing protests and different things across the country. Why? Because the youth have been going to college, where the colleges have been teaching this garbage about, you know, occupied territory and all that garbage. You know, you could just go back into and look historically what's going on there. You know, they even admit, well, there was a temple there. You know, well, if there was a Israeli temple there, then, you know, your lie about that always being controlled by Palestinians, which there was no such thing as Palestinians until, you know, anyway, the point of the matter is it's just all garbage. You know, there's no historic. There's no... Have you ever seen a Palestinian restaurant? I mean, have you ever seen anything about Palestinian heritage? There isn't anything, because there is no such thing called the Palestinian people. the people that lived in it there was either Arabs or Jordanians. You know, it was like a terrorist that I had on, an ex-terrorist I had on the radio program a bunch of times. Came on and said, he said, and he was a Palestinian terrorist. He said, well, I used to be a Jordanian terrorist, and one day I woke up and I found out that they were now saying that I was a Palestinian and I was a Palestinian terrorist. That's because it's garbage that they just dreamed up. Yasser Arafat dreamed it up to use against Israel. There is no such thing as a Palestinian terrorist. And let me tell you what, if you go over and interview Arabs, there's a lot of Arabs, you know, these people that are Palestinian, are actually Israeli, citizens. In fact, there's a judge in Israel, one of the judges in Israel is a Muslim, he's an Arab, and he just sentenced somebody from the, you know, in the government to 20 years in prison, you know, that was an Israeli. Well, if, see, their garbage doesn't work. They are a free society. Just because you live in Israel don't mean you're a Jew and you believe in the Bible. There's some Israeli citizens that are Arabs, you know. It is a democratic society. You know, people just don't get that. You got to do your research and read. But, you know, I'm going to give you some really, really interesting information after break. We're going to talk about the temple and the red heifers and what the Muslims think about it and what they're bringing forth. Not anything. We will talk about how the end of this war is going to happen, or at least what Biden's screaming for and what the other side's screaming for. So we've got a lot of good information after break. But we are going to take a break, and it'll be about a minute early. So go ahead, tell them where to find us, and we'll go out.
Okay, you can find all of our contact information, radio program archives, and all of the mission updates are at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back. In this time of the social and spiritual breakdown of America and the world, in these prophetic end times, God is calling multitudes of Christians to the Ozarks and other safe havens around the world to survive so they can spread the gospel. The Ark Haven Intentional Neighbors Vision is to prepare Christians physically, mentally, and spiritually for these end times. Thousands are coming to the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas and Missouri, where even the CIA says it's one of the safest places on earth. The intentional neighbors concept allows Christian neighbors to own adjacent land to each other so they can aid and help each other. The community is exploding with nurses, a doctor, and other professionals, as well as many others. If you cannot afford to buy a house, you can rent a house. Call 479-502-1789. That's 479-502-1789. Or visit arkhaven.org. That's arkhaven.org. Tell them Pastor Dan sent you.
In Genesis 41, tells a story of Pharaoh having a dream of 7 fat ears of corn followed by 7 blasted ones, meaning there's 7 years of plenty, and then there was 7 years of famine following. We are now in 7 years of famine once again, starting September 25th of 2021. Joseph's Kitchen is about getting actual wheat berries, putting them through a mill, takes 30 seconds, putting it along with the ingredients into a bread machine, pushing a button, 2 hours, 20 minutes later, you have a nice steaming hot loaf of whole wheat bread. Most long-term storage food is from $9,000 to $10,000, one person, 1 year. At Joseph's Kitchen, it's 2 people, 1 year, about $2,000. Then you decide whether you want to have food for one person, 1 year, 2 people, 1 year, 4 people, 1 year, or 6 people, 1 year, all at josephskitchen.com. That's right, about $1,000 per person per year at josephskitchen.com. josephskitchen.com.
Oh,
folks. We're back. This is Pastor Dan and
Linda Catlin.
And you're listening to Size Branch Prophecy, our American Voice Radio Network. Okay, for the record, we will not be here next Thursday because...
Why not?
Well, I don't know. You tell us.
Because we'll be feeding turkey.
Turkey? Yeah. You want to know all about the turkey stuff, though. You listen to the first part of the program. We had a good time talking about it, but those miraculous things. But I really pray that you folks do take the time out and give thanks to the Father. While we should, as Christians, believers in Messiah, we should be giving thanks all the time before you pull out of your driveway, eat your food, just all the time, because we're here because of Him, and we'll get to spend eternity with Him. But one thing that really is disappointing, and it's about the, and I noticed it a few years back when I had the emergency go out and get something, you know, to add to the dinner, because my wife said, oh, we need it, and the stores would still be open, and the people would be, you know, well, we can't wait to get off work, and I'd say to the checkout person, I know I did this several times, and I asked them, I said, well, yeah, you're in a hurry to turkey dinner, you know? Oh, no, we're not doing Thanksgiving, we're getting ready to go do Black Friday, which is then Black Thursday.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
Translated into Black Thursday, you know what I'm saying? So everybody's off to buy presents and everything, and just neglecting, you know. It's a great tradition, Thanksgiving is. It was something set by the, you know, our founders or whatever, and it's a great time to give thanks. In fact, all these people that go against Thanksgiving, they neglect to look at the real history. You know, when these people came over on the Mayflower and things, you know, they didn't steal the land. In fact, they bought the land from the Indians. In fact, the Indians thought it was funny once because one of the major landing places was that they sold them this island, and this island was a bug-infested, terrible place, and they sold it to them, really. They thought it was funny, and they caught diseases and things from it or whatever. So, you know, it wasn't like we stole. And the first Thanksgiving, in fact, the Indians came up, had helped them pull out of almost starving to death, you know, and they had banded together. And so the first so-called Thanksgiving was between the Indians and the settlers, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, but they was doing one thing. They were giving thanks to a higher power. They were giving, well, the English people were giving thanks to, you know, Christians.
Well, wasn't it pilgrims?
Pilgrims.
Yeah.
The pilgrims were giving thanks to, you know, our Father in heaven and everything, but the Indians were also giving thanks to a creator, a God in heaven. You know, I'm not saying it was the same, but you get the point. So it's a good thing to take time out and spend it with family. Take time out, give thanks to the Father, reflect on your thing and on your year, you know, what you've been blessed with. Because people in this country, no matter what, like Carl Gallup said on this program last week, so for all the people that are wanting to down and say how bad America is and everything, you see all these people coming to our country. Why are they coming to their country? This is the number one place that everybody in the world wants to come to because of what they see as our freedom. We are still, even with all the garbage that's going on, we're still the freest country in the world. You know, and we're the place that everybody wants to come to. So, you know, pray about supporting our Wichita Mission Church. You know, help us so we can help the people the Father sends us. You know, we're the last hope for so many, and we're all, every one of us out there, are responsible to care one for another as we are our brother's keepers. All donations that you would give matters, but the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
Okay, and if you don't wish to donate for help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's free and it keeps us on the air. Now, you can donate how?
You can donate online by Cash App, over the phone, by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Right. Amen and amen. Okay, well, so now let's go into a little heavier stuff. Okay, a lot of things that we don't, people don't see. Well, number one, the Biden administration is acting like they're, pro-Israel. In the meantime, they're giving money to terrorists. You know, they just gave released $10 more billion to Iran, which is all the ones that fund the terrorists and everything and so on. And Obama, as a going out thing, actually signed some decrees that said that Israel's borders weren't legitimate, that they needed to go back to the 1967 borders. He did that as he was going out of office. Well, President Trump came in and nullified that, you know, and he said, you know, the borders are what they needed to be and all that. Well, when Biden came in, he rescinded it, you know, and so it's not even publicized, but Biden rescinded the legitimacy of Israel's borders. And so that's part of it. But listen to this. Now, well, we hear a lot of talk from about the red heifers, you know, they found the red cows that they have to have to be able to build the temple. We were always hearing it from either the Jewish side or Christian sides. I'm going to present some things to you what's going on, that this is what the Arabs are worried about. They're worried about this thing called the Red Heifer Project. It says the Israeli government part of the plan to build the third temple at Alaska. Go ahead.
Okay, since 1967, the non-Muslims have been allowed to visit Alaska, but not pray at the holy site.
Okay, as Alaska, for people that don't know, is the Temple Mount.
Okay, yeah, that status quo is rapidly eroding in recent years as Israeli Jewish settler groups work alongside the government to take control of the compound. Under Jewish law, the ashes of red heifer, which is a young female cow, must be scattered across Haram al-Sharif before Jews can ascend it and rebuild the third temple.
Okay, so they keep Jews. Now, remember, I'm telling you, this is an opinion coming from, I had to translate it, you know what I'm saying? This comes from Muslims. They're talking about it, and this is what they're worried about. Go ahead.
Okay. While the hunt for the red heifer has long been considered a fringe initiative touted at the Temple Mount activists, new research reveals the Israeli government is now involved in the endeavor.
Endeavor, but go ahead.
According to Jerusalem-focused nonprofit IRM, the Israeli government authorities helped the Temple Mount activist group, the Temple Institute, and the Bowen Israel, an evangelistical organization, import 5 cows from the United States last year to be used for the red heifer sacrifice. The Ministry of Agriculture allegedly assisted in bypassing standard regulations in order to import the live cows from the U.S., which is prohibited.
Yes, and they because of different vaccines and different all kinds of garbage, they're not allowed to bring in animals from the United States. You know, that shows you they're considering our animals poisonous, basically. And so they had to do this. But these cows, and see, I followed the story, these cows, they didn't get any vaccines or anything from birth. You know, they were naturally done. And
they were organic?
Yeah, they were organic, if you want to put it that way. But they, in order for this cow to be kosher means from start to finish, it has to be observed by the right people. And so these were observed all to the kosher standing with no impurities and no bogus hairs. And like it says, in order to build a temple or even go on the Temple Mount, really, there's supposed to be the sacrifice and the ashes of a red heifer spread over the Temple Mount. Let's go on.
Okay, in a press release, Bowen Israel and the Temple Institute claim they received permission to import the cows through the Ministry of Agriculture. The Ministry of Jerusalem Affairs and Heritage also assisted in the project. The ministry's director, General Nathaniel Isaac, disclosed in a speech at the cows' welcome ceremony in September of 2022 that the agency has been funding the development of the Mount of Olives area where Temple Mount activists plan to initiate the red heifer ritual sacrifice.
Right, so on the Mount of Olives, there's a place where it has to be done, you know. But look, they're saying, well, the government says it isn't behind it or whatever, it had to be the government for the cows to even get into the country. And so to build a temple, so here's a kicker, if they plan on building a temple, then well, there's a mosque sitting there, you know, at where the temple's supposed to be. Some people say that they'll build it alongside of it. We'll see, but there is a plan. Go ahead.
Additionally, the ministry is involved in transferring the cows to a visitor center and farm created for the Red Heifer Project at the Tel Shiloh Agricultural Archaeological Site in the Occupied West Bank.
Now, so, you can tell this is from them, Occupied West Bank.
Yeah,
it's
occupied.
It's not occupied. It's Israel's land.
Yeah. Currently, the cows are being held at a kibbutz, which is a Jewish commune in the Jordan Valley. One of the cows is reportedly already at the Israeli Settlement Research Center, however.
That's where it has to be slaughtered, and you know what we're going to do. Okay.
Okay, despite the Israeli government vow to keep this with the status quo of Al-Aqsa, settlers involved in the Red Heifer Project underscore the aim in Jewish ascension on Hiram al-Shifa.
Yeah, just say Temple Mount if you see that, because that's what it is.
Oh, in order to reconstruct the third temple, implying the destruction of the Dome of the Rock.
And the Dome of the Rock is the name of the mosque sitting there. Okay, I'll jump in for a bit. While Jewish settlers are increasingly storming the Temple Mount, many rabbis today forbid this. Ancient Jewish law dictates the Red Heifer's ashes are required first to purify the air before the Jews can ascend. Because of this, most religious Jews don't even enter the compound, and those who may only walk on certain parts. With the Red Heifer ritual, the number of Jews storming the Al-Aqsa Mosque or area will then multiply. That's the Temple Mount. Senior figures involved in the issue have told media outlets the project's ultimate goal is to rebuild a third temple destroyed by the Romans in 70 CE. Okay, that's after Christ, but see, you're talking about the Palestinians claiming they always had a presence in the land. There wouldn't have been a Jewish temple that they just admitted to having there if it was always Muslim land. You understand what, you know? Okay, so this is what they go on to say. They're saying the prophecies came true. The Muslims are saying it. The prophecies came true. The Jews are back in Israel. And this is Brian Stinson, responsible for raising the cattle and bringing them to Tel Aviv. This is what he told the Jerusalem Post. Now they need to build a temple. But it's like buying a really nice car. If you don't have the key, you aren't going anywhere. The Red Heifer is the key to making the temple work like it's supposed to. While the Red Heifer Project seeks to obtain Jewish sovereignty over the Temple Mount, Marop has faced that the Palestinian people will fight to preserve the status quo, which they've done in previous instances, to sanctify the Temple Mount. Well, now, here you have a conundrum. The biggest thing stepping in the way to them building a Temple Mount is the Palestinian people. The Hamas, see, that's what they're fighting against. But now, look, if they go in and they destroy the Hamas leadership, you know, the Hamas like they're doing, and they plan on building a two-state solution or whatever, I think that this temple's going to end up being part of it, and it may be all about what it's about. A very important element is this equation. The Palestinian people is Jerusalem. They posted the main obstacle against Jewish or Israeli settler rights groups. Whatever. Okay. So, two-state solution. Well, you know, one, we have Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He has never said that he agreed to a two-state solution. He said, nope, that's just not going to happen. Well, now, since the war started, what did I write there?
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, for the very first time, said that he agreed with a two-state solution with certain security and that Hamas was no more.
Okay. So, that's Netanyahu. And so Netanyahu is saying now that he would agree to a two-state solution, but they got to get Hamas out of control. So, that's what he's doing right now. So, with Hamas out, what's going to happen? Is there going to be a two-state solution, which will be devastating for America, because every time that we've given away land for peace, something bad like a hurricane or whatever happens to America, you know, just, and I think it has to come for election, because I honestly think there's a strong possibility Trump could get back in. So, read this. If you think it's not out there, folks, there's all kinds of articles. You can find these out there, and they're not all American, they're translated. Go ahead.
Will war between Israel and Hamas end hopes for a two-state solution? October 19, 2023. During his visit to Tel Aviv this week, President Biden reiterated a desire for peace between Israel and the Palestinians through an implementation of two-state solution. For years, the idea of establishing a state for the Palestinian people and a state for the Israeli people has been a strategy that presidents on both sides of the political aisle have evoked as a framework for the peace in the Middle East.
Okay. Over and over, we've offered them a two-state solution. Over and over, we've offered
them. And they've turned it down.
And they've always turned it down. No, they just always did one more thing, created war. They were almost to another solution, and that's where Hamas attacked. Because, in fact, they had Saudi Arabia in on it and Jordan in on it, and they were all talking about it and even changing the status quo of the Temple Mount, which would have allowed Israelis on it. That was about to happen, and then what happened? Well, the Hamas wanted war, so they got to get Hamas out of the solution. And so, let's go like this. This is Biden talking to Netanyahu. Go ahead.
Two-state solution, the only way to end conflict, Biden tells Netanyahu. Updated November 16, 2023. U.S. President Joe Biden says that he has made it clear to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that the creation of a real Palestinian state was the only answer to resolve the Israeli-Hamas conflict, and that occupying Gaza would be a big mistake.
Stop a second. And that's Netanyahu. And, you know, the only reason I can say it is because I've heard his name so many times on TV and everything. If I just looked at it, I couldn't make that pronunciation out of that. Either it looks like Netanyahu.
Yeah, it's not Yahoo. It's pretty spelled pretty the way it sounds.
Yeah, anyway, but it is Netanyahu. Anyway, go ahead.
I can tell you, I don't think it ultimately ends until there's a two-state solution, Biden said to the San Francisco on Thursday after his meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping.
And I have no idea how you pronounce that. But right now, yeah, he has met with, you know how dirty L.A. is and everything, you know, it's all trash and all that, you know, and all the homeless people and all, everything out on the street. You know, so the president of China just came over for a visit.
Oh, and they cleaned it up. I heard that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They cleaned it up spick and span. And so they're saying, well, what? You can clean it all up in a few days or whatever. We can clean it all up spotless and everything for the Chinese president. But you can't do it for your own people. And he admitted, he said, yeah, I can. He said, I can do that. And that's what he did. And then on top of it, then Biden was asked during the, you know, some of the news things during this visit, because he went over there to see him. They asked him, you know, who they thought, what he thought about the governor. And he said, the governor could do my job. So now the people are saying that it's very strong that they may replace Biden with Governor Newsom.
I heard that too.
To be the presidential candidate. Okay, but the point of the matter is they're talking about this two-state solution thing. The two-state solution coming as the only viable option. Biden's pushing it, so that means America's pushing it. But Biden doesn't like America anyway. Biden is run by Obama, and he's just looking for the destruction of Israel and America. He wants total change. But the whole point is, you know, that's what it's about. So what do I think? I think there's a strong, and I said in the first program that I'd tell you what I thought. What I think about this, I believe, like a lot of other people, that the Hamas war changed everything. It changed the dynamics. Why? Things had to get into a certain position for certain prophetic things to come. Now, most Christians and most people believe that there will be a temple rebuilt before Messiah's return. Now, while you'll find articles that say, well, half of the Jews are against the temple being built, and they're not even worried about it, because the Bible actually says that the real temple, the last temple, will be built by Yeshua. But that doesn't mean that the other people doesn't believe it. So here's the point. So they're going to get it. The Bible also says that Israel will be, you know, Jerusalem will be split up. Well, in order for the resistance has been to not do that, but two-state solution can't come as long as the Hamas oppose it. this war happens, they get rid of Hamas, they have a two-state solution, temple rebuilt, Antichrist goes and sits in the temple. That's what the Bible says. So, is this it? I don't know. But there's a strong possibility that this ends with a two-state solution and inevitability the temple gets built.
And then what? Yeshua comes and tears it down and rebuilds it?
Well, he'll build what would be called the real temple, you know, because it's really plain.
Well, it makes sense because the devil tries to do everything that the Lord has, and it's all through history. Everything the Lord did, the devil tried to outdo, and so it makes sense that he'd try to hurry and build a temple before the Lord comes to build it.
Well, that's what he says. It says that he'll go in and sit in the holy place where he ought not to be and proclaim himself to be greater than God.
Right.
And the holy place it's always been called the holy place is the temple.
And there isn't one right now.
And there isn't one right now. And so that's a big sign that most people have been prophetically looking for is the temple to be rebuilt. And, you know, while they don't pay attention to their Bible, you know, you wouldn't be wishing for the temple to be rebuilt if, you know, the Bible says that Yeshua is going to build it. So if you see a false temple, you know, it also says he's going to stop the sacrifices. Well, Jews are going to do sacrifices from where that temple. How are they going to get into the temple? Two-state solution, you know, part of the agreement. Actually, Jordan was talking about giving them the sovereignty back over it. Because, believe me, Jordan and Saudi Arabia and those other countries that signed the Abraham Accord with President Trump and Israel, they want peace in Israel. They don't, and they really don't care that much about the Palestinian cause, because the Palestinian cause was only for one reason, was to destroy Israel completely. Well, now these Arabic nations are agreeing that Israel can have a presence there. And so they don't wish to destroy them. And so they really don't, like Saudi Arabia says, don't send me any of your Palestinian refugees. We don't want any of them on our land. But Biden says that we need to prepare ourselves because we're going to be taking in a whole bunch of Palestinian refugees. So, you know, this is all we're in prophetic times, end of story. However this turns out, I don't know. I'm just guessing by reading the headlines. But there's these things that we just read just now are from the Arab side, from the Muslim side, what they're worried about, you know, and what they think. They want a two-state solution. Yeah, okay, it would be easier to destroy Israel, but then they are worried about that the Israelis are what? Going to use that red heifer and build a temple. That's what it calls for, you know. And so we're in prophetic times. I pray, because everything is described as a labor pain, so I pray that this, you know, this whole Hamas thing and all the war right now, I don't look for it to jump any further, even though Turkey would like for it to or whatever. But Iran, the main player, has just, I read in Iran newspapers, the Ayatollah came out and said, we are not, and they chewed out the Hamas, they said, we are not ready to enter the final war with Israel. So if Iran isn't ready to jump into this mess right now, this war should not escalate into
so
major
it's just
conflict.
Like Braxton contractions, it's fake.
There you go. So it's fake labor, you know. There you go. And Russia said the same thing. We're not ready to get into any kind of a war. The only reason that we back Hamas is we got kind of forced into it, but we're not ready to jump into a major conflict. And that's also from a translated site. It wasn't from something that one of these English liberal newspapers put out, but it was from the other side. So the point of the matter is it could calm down. And you know what? We might get, even like we said in the first program, America might get another reprieve for a little while. And if we do, you better use it to repent and get ready, because the next thing that happens, you know, birth pains
get
what?
It'll get worse and worse.
Yeah, there you go. So, happy things. So, share our radio programs around. You all have a great Thanksgiving. We won't be here next week. We pray that you'll share our programs and consider a donation to the ministry or to radio.
And you can donate online by Cash App or over the phone or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And if you don't want to help with the poor, then consider a donation for radio, because airtime isn't free, and that's what keeps us on the air, is the donation to pay for the airtime.
Oh, and amen. And you folks over there in Helsinki, Finland, there was just a major case, one over there by a woman that, from two women that were being charged because they repeated the Romans thing that talks about homosexuality and all that, and they were got for hate speech. And they won in court, said that they were, you know, they could use the Bible verses, otherwise they was going to go to jail for it. But here's a big kicker. Finland, what the laws that happen in Finland would also be something that happened in the European Union. And so it stopped, by them winning, stopped hate speech. The Bible declared hate as hate speech all over Europe. And so it's a big, it was really a big win, but it's not much talking about. But you folks over there in Helsinki, Finland, which listen to us, this was your case in Helsinki, Finland. And so, amen, it was won. Praise the Father for it. So, and hello to my folks that listen to us in Helsinki, Finland. Okay. All right. Anything else you want to say, Tim?
Don't eat too much. Eat your desserts first so you get all the good stuff.
Listen to her.
That's what my dad taught us. He said, always eat your dessert first, because if anything happens before you get to your dinner, you always got the best.
You always got the best. Well, I don't know about the best, but we'll go along with what
you said. You just have me to cook for you. That's all.
That turkey that you cooked, I had a bite of.
Oh, my gosh.
You
got to smell the house
today. Oh, my gosh. That turkey was so tender. It just melted in your mouth.
It all been really juicy, really.
It was fantastic. In fact, I even had to have a sandwich out of it. So I did have my first turkey. Okay, remember, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. Remember what?
Always be a blessing to others. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're praying for Messiah's return.
All right. Father, Lord our God, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you'd be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Well, until 2 weeks from now.
Keep us in prayer.
Yeah. You done talking? All right. This is Pastor Dan saying goodbye. And
Linda Catlin saying goodbye and shalom.
Y'all be blessed. I guess I got to change the
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.